Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, Pastor Mutakwa, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, moderator. Apologies. I think yesterday I was typing some message to the family. And I didn't realize that I was typing it at the wrong recording it at the wrong place.
Yeah, no, that's all right. That's all right, sure. Pastor. We're grateful.
Apologies for that.
That's all right. No, fantastic.
Yes.
But Pastor, we are concluding our discussion this afternoon. And of course, we are wrapping up things in our talk for the second coming of Jesus by studying the famous parable of the 10 virgins and how it applies to us today. If you're not familiar, those who are joining us, if you're not familiar with it, don't worry. We'll get you up to speed in this very conversation. So, Pastor, let's get to it. Please do explain the parable of the 10 virgins and how it applies to us in the context of the second coming. I'll allow you to pray.
Shall we pray? Gracious Father, our Lord and our God in heaven, we again thank you on this fifth day of this presentation. We pray that as we come to an end, as we do this presentation, the same wisdom, the same knowledge that you gave us the past 4 days may also be given to us today. We pray for those that are listening. We pray also for the moderator and myself that we be empowered by the Holy Ghost. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen and amen.
Okay.
Right, over to you,
Pastor. Thank you so much, moderator. Mm. Yeah, this parable is found in Matthew chapter 25. Verse 1, going downwards, I think up to 13 there, where Jesus likened the kingdom of heaven to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. I am not going to read the whole passage, but I think we are familiar with the whole story.
Yeah,
I want to get to its explanation. Let me begin by saying, all earthly relations are not sufficient to explain heavenly things.
Mm-hmm.
This is the reason why Jesus used many different parables to help the children understand the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
Now, this parable comes at a time when there was a custom among the Jews in terms of a wedding where the bridegroom would come at night to the bride's house. The bridesmaids would attend to her. So when the bridegroom approaches, it is announced, and the maidens go out with lamps to light his way into the house for the celebration. So this is what was happening at that time. This is the kind of weddings that were at that time. So Jesus opted to use this scenario to explain how it shall be at the time when he shall come. So now, the 10 virgins, when we go to Revelation chapter 14, verse 4, I hope people will not be somehow mixed up, about the sealed group of 144,000. It is said that they were not defiled with women. They never went to foreign churches. They never went away from what God was teaching them. So they are, in that context, they are like a woman who has not met a man, who is the way she was born. So now, in this context, we are talking about two classes of watchers who are professing to be waiting for the Lord, and they are called virgins because they profess a pure faith. What is a pure faith? A faith that is based on Christ, faith that is based on believing and keeping the commandments, have the faith of Jesus Christ, worshiping Jesus as a true God.
Mm.
Now, Psalms number 119, stanza 105, or verse 105, as it is commonly said, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, let me begin to explain. The bridegroom in this parable signifies Jesus. The the 10 virgins, five wise, five foolish. These signify two classes of people who are going to be found in God's church. These have ever been there, and they are among the professed followers of Christ. They are in the true church of God. They profess the truth. They claim they are children of God. One class studied the Savior's life, NS3, and seek to correct their kind of living, their way of living, their pattern of life, to be in conformity with the Savior. The other one lives in a careless way. It doesn't matter what is said about them as long as they belong to the true church. But in an actual sense, they are not living in that particular situation. Now, in this explanation, they both fell into spiritual slumber. Now, here we are talking about the oil. They carried some lamp, the lamp which we said is a light unto the feet. They also carried some oil. The Bible says they never carried oil.
Mm.
The explanation is that they carried oil, but the oil that they carried was not enough to sustain them up to the time when the bridegroom was going to come, because they didn't know at what time was coming. Mm. So the oil represented the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So it is a symbol. They claim that they are with Jesus. So now here, we are talking of a situation where the righteousness of Jesus is what is supposed to cover a Christian. It's supposed to cover someone
who
claims to be a child of God. So it represents the character of God, the character of Christ. And the character of Christ cannot be lived for the other. I cannot live a Christianity for my wife. I cannot leave you. I cannot be the one to repent and then get baptized on behalf of my brother. Everyone must possess their own character. So now, in this context, we see a situation where, as they carried their lamps, a time came when the bridegroom arrived. It was midnight. They say midnight cry. When it was announced, everyone had some kind of slept. They are tired and so forth. So those, when they discovered all their lamps were getting dim, those with enough oil just simply trimmed their lamps, and their lamps started lightening. So they would go now to meet the bridegroom. These who are foolish, they never had enough oil to trim their lamps. So they were in a situation that was very difficult. You know, begin to beg from their colleagues. Their colleagues says, "We only have enough for ourselves." A signal that if you live a life that is very careless, what happens is that you will not be able to ride on the back of your father or your mother in terms of you being on the side of Christ Jesus. Your sin will not be purified because you are careless. Moderator, I want to add a few things. When you go to the disappointment in 1844, 1843, 1844.
Yes, yes.
Surely the Bible was expounded. The message was preached. And when it was discovered that Christ was not returning, actually, he was going into the Holy of Holies to do what? To mediate on behalf of God, I mean, children, our sins. There also, they were, it's likened to the ten virgins. Those who were wise enough, who understood the prophets, went into the Holy of Holies with Christ. Those who were foolish decided to leave the faith. When the going got tough, they said, no, we cannot manage this, because they were not actuated by the power of Jesus. As a result, they would not stand the situation. So this is what Jesus now was explaining, likening the kingdom of what? God in that fashion. Now here we see the grace of Christ. And therefore, it means we can only be sufficient. We can only receive the Holy Spirit, the power, by God's power himself. When we surrender ourselves, we go to him, then we can go into the wedding, go into sup with him. This is why in Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, the Bible says, "Be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." What do we need to do now, moderator? To ask for God's forgiveness. Just like that midnight cry that came, the midnight cry is coming for us. Which one is this? There comes a time when Christ shall come.
Mm.
By the way, at that time, those who will not be ready are going to be like the five foolish virgins. In fact, one writer says, a character is seen in a crisis. If you want to know really who Pastor Mutakwa is, let there be a crisis, how he's going to handle a crisis, you will know what kind of a character he possesses.
Mm.
So when the NST voice is proclaimed, behold, the bridegroom comes, go out to meet him.
Yeah.
And the sleeping virgins are all aroused from their slumber. What happens there? Two groups appear.
Mm.
Those who are not prepared, they are not ready to meet him. They have no the Holy Spirit. Those who are prepared have the Holy Spirit, are being led by the Holy Spirit. They will go to meet him. So this parable of the 10 virgins signifies two groups of people who are going to be found claiming to profess the word of God. Let me be specific here. They will be calling themselves Seventh-day Adventists.
Yeah. Well, now, Pastor, it does look like the coming is quite imminent. I must say that, it has been preached over years that the return of Christ will be coming. It is more imminent now than it was before. What should this generation do to prepare for this coming?
Okay. Instructions are there in the Bible. I will just read a few texts here. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Talking about this age. Because we are reading this. This was in the time of Titus. Like we discovered last time, moderator, that even during the time of Titus, they were waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. But now we are reading this in this age. It says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God, Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speaking these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let none despise you. This is Paul speaking to Titus, to speak to the people of Titus at that time. This is the kind of life that is expected of us who live in these last days. Let me quote another scripture.
Yes.
The book of Revelation chapter 14. We normally, verse 6, it goes up to verse 12 there, but I'll just read up to verse 8. We call this one the three angels' message. Verse 6 says, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, everyone, Chinese, Japanese, whether you are in Iceland, whether you are deep down in a dungeon, wherever you are. Verse 7 says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Hey, and another angel followed in verse 8, saying, Babylon is fallen. Is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So now, as we go on, the Bible says, come out of her. What is expected of us today is to take heed to the gospel as it is going to be preached. As it comes, we must fear God. What is to fear God? Is to reverence God, is to worship God, to be in aware of God. Judgment is coming. In fact, when we are talking about judgment itself, examining the topic on itself in the Seventh-day Adventist, would have been talking about what began to happen when Jesus entered the Holy of Holies. Judgment began. Books were opened, beginning from the first person that lived on earth. I don't know at this hour where Jesus is, who is examining whether it is my name. So meaning, this judgment is the things are already done. When Jesus comes, a fate is simply pronounced to say, according to your living, this is what you get. So now, we are being called upon. Babylon represents a foreign world, it represents sin. We are being asked to come out of that city, to come out of sin, worship the true God, be part of God, confess our sins. Jesus died for us, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Mm-hmm. So the appeal moderator mm-hmm. is to all of us, the speaker, yourself, the listeners, to fear God, to worship God, to search the scriptures like William Miller and the group did.
Yeah.
They said they were disappointed, but they were not disheartened. They actually got strengthened to preach more.
Yeah, yeah.
After what had happened. Are we not passing through challenges? We are. Are we not passing through difficulties? We are. Is our faith not tried? One of the greatest things that as a pastor you have to cope up with is the where people tell you that how many years have you been preaching about the second coming of Jesus? The things are just the same. We are not seeing anything. When is he coming? Are you not ashamed to talk about what you can't see? You, why do you waste a lot of time to speak about the second coming of Jesus when there are better things to do? So these, as they come like this, we must soldier on. We must keep on until the one who said you come, ye will certainly come.
Mm.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Pastor, it has really been a fantastic week. And of course, it's a great, great promise, full of life, this particular promise. And I, for one, am looking forward to that day. And I do know that you are also looking forward to that day. The listeners as well, we are so grateful that you have made time this particular week and spend this week with us. Thank you so, so much, Pastor.
Yes, thank you so much.
Blessings to you and Lord. Shabbat Shalom.
Shalom. Blessings to the listeners.
Thank you.
We'll meet next time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
AWR SID Media Traffic.